Father, as we meditate upon your word, open our hearts, our minds, to understand and to receive through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I guess that most of us, we have recognized that we are today celebrating the Trinity Sunday. Trinity is obviously a doctrinal issue. Hence, my sermon today wouldn't be as such about the everyday life application of the Bible, and it may sound to some like a lecture, but I hope it is not. To many, of course, the word doctrine seems dry and academic. Last Sunday's our speaker, a brilliant speaker, and so many of you have said so many positive things about him. He did make distinction between the head knowledge and the heart attitude. As said earlier, what I am going to talk today would sound a kind of head knowledge, but please don't switch off. The subject of Trinity, in fact, is truly a heart matter. Let me say it again. Subject of the Trinity is truly heart matter. It is in the Trinity that God really and truly shows his heart to humanity. It is in Trinity we learn that he said he loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son. And to understand the Trinity, I believe one needs to have heart too. Dr. Gerald Bray, one of my favorite theologians, wrote, "The Trinity belongs to the inner life of God and can be known only by those who share in that life. As long as we look at God on the outside, we shall never see beyond his unity. This means that an outside observer will never detect the inner reality of God and will never enter the communion with him which is promised to us in Christ." And it is based on statements of wise people like that I say that we too need heart to fully understand the Trinity. If God shows his heart, we need to have heart, not just head, but heart. It is from there when we have those intimate relationships with each other and with God too. It is Trinitarian understanding of God that we learn that God is personal, a God who relates to us and who is concerned with each one of us. He knows what each one of us individually. You know, that a while ago we read the psalm and it says that what is man? And did you know that it is in Trinitarian understanding of God that we know that God knows each one of us individually? Did you know that God, who made the universe, created countless stars, gave them the names, remember their names, knows your name as well? For me, it is knowledge beyond my comprehend that God, who created billions and trillions of stars, he remembers this tiny, tiny speck in this universe, Napo, by name. And so is with you. He knows you by name. And that assurance, authority only comes when we approach to God that he is triune God. There is no lack of people that who say that the concept of Trinity is hard to understand. And I do actually agree with them. When I did my theology, my thesis was actually on the Trinity. And so you can say that I have read a little bit about this subject. And in spite of all that little I had read, I had researched, meditated upon God's word, and I have no hesitation, not in any kind of pride, but in humility to say that there are some tremendous insights about the Trinity in the Old Testament that the Lord revealed to me, but yet I would say that I don't think I fully understand it. The concept fully, if you ask that, have I got hold of it? I grasped it, and I would say, not really. But why then do I believe that God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? I believe simply because that is how God has revealed himself in the pages of the Bible. And that is not just the Old New Testament, it is equally in the Old Testament that God has revealed himself to be a plural. And I will actually show you a Bible passage where you will see the three persons. Yeah? But let me come after this introduction, mention three things. First of all, what Trinity is not. Where does the Bible say that God is triune God? And thirdly, to sum it up, what is Trinity? To begin with, what Trinity is not. Trinity is not a brainchild of Saint Paul. Some of you say that, well, what am I saying? Yes, the reason I say that Trinity is not the brainchild of St. Paul, because there are many out there who believe that had it not been Paul, the church would have been spared from this difficult to understand theology. But the fact of the matter is that before St. Paul was born, or even before our Savior took the human flesh, centuries before that, there were Jewish sages who clearly saw that, hey, there is peculiarity. There is this one God, but in this one God, there is continuously this plurality. It is long, long before Paul came on the scene that it was understood. Secondly, Trinity is not the brainchild of any church fathers. Why do I say so? There are those who believe that this idea or the concept of triune God was created at the council at Nicaea, from where the Nicene Creed comes in AD 325. Well, let me tell you, that is absolutely not true. Because, for instance, let me first quote that, who are the people who say this? I don't know. I guess many of you would remember, not long ago, there came this book, Da Vinci Code. How many have seen it, read it? Yeah, well, few of you. That there, on page 315, the copy what I have, there may be different pages, but on that one, 315, the writer says, "My dear," Tabing declared, "until that moment in history," referring to the Nicaea Council, "Jesus was viewed by his followers as a mortal prophet, a great and powerful man, but a man nevertheless immortal." Now, the reality is very different. The truth is that long before the Nicaea Council, the church fathers' writings declared that the earliest church always believed in the divinity of the Son. One of the earliest church fathers who wrote is the Shepherd of Hermas. I guess those of you especially who have studied theology or who are studying theology, you probably are familiar with the name Shepherd of Hermas. He was brother of Pius, the Bishop of Rome. He wrote, "The Son of God is more ancient than any created thing, so that he was present in the council with his father at the creation." Now, Justin Martin was another great leader and a writer in the early church, 150 AD, somewhere around that, nearly 200 years or two centuries before the Nyssa Council. His writings declared that the doctrine of Trinity was proclaimed with great clarity from the earliest ages of the church. So I hope I have given you little glimpse that all those who come on your door, or maybe you meet or bump into them something and said, you just created and some, you know, that pastor, vicars or something, bishops created it. Not true. I have given you just a glimpse that what is the reality. But they built their confidence of the Trinity on the Bible. And as I said earlier, that I believe in the Trinity because of the Bible. But where does the Bible say God is Trinity? Now, if you start to search the Bible for the word Trinity, rest assured you will not find it there. The word Trinity is not absolutely in the Bible. However, the peculiarity and mystery concerning the nature of God of the Bible begins already with the opening verses of the Bible and continues to the closing promises found in the last book of the Bible, the Revelation. There are very many statements that affirm that there is only one God, but within the same Bible, and so often in the very same verse, we find that in the same one God, there is plurality. And then there are passages that where it comes even clear that he has manifested himself as three person or in three manifestations. Take, for example, the first five books of Moses, the Old Testament, as believed that written by Moses. Moses has used the term for God, Elohim, 500 times. Not Yahweh, the typical Jewish, but he has used Elohim. And where you read in the Old Testament plural gods with small g, the word is actually also Elohim. So what I'm trying to say, that the word Moses picked up to express who God is, he used word Elohim, which is plural. But those of us who know a bit of Hebrew have noticed it, that every time plural, but with singular verb. Isn't it amazing? That 500 time Elohim talking about the plurality in God. Then you read from Genesis onward to the Malachi, the Old Testament, and again you come across this angel who is referred to as God's angel, but within the same passage, he is distinguished from the angel. Genesis chapter 16, verses 7 to 13. Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 to 21. And those of us who meet in the morning for our Bible studies or the prayers, that we are nowadays looking at the book of Jeshua. And there in the early chapters, you meet Jeshua going out in the morning. He meets this angel who is standing there. He asks that, on whose side you are? He says, of neither. I have come as the captain of God's armies. But you continue the story and it will come again clear that he distinguishes himself from to be the angel, because he says to Jeshua, take off your shoes. You are standing on the holy grounds. And that is where God's presence is. Then you find time and again in the scriptures that either the word or the wisdom of God personalized. That today in the Proverbs we read about the wisdom of God, but it is as though a person. Yeah, have a look at it when you go home. Proverbs chapter 8. But one of the greatest wonderful passage I found in Proverbs, it is chapter 30, verse 4. And for you and me, it won't be anything astonishing because we are used to it. But just for a moment, forget it that God's Son has been revealed yet. And listen what it says. Who has gone up to heaven and come down? Who has gathered up the wind in the hollow of his hands? Who has wrapped up the waters in his cloak? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What would you call his name? He is God. What is his name? But listen what it says next. And the name of his son. It's the Old Testament. Who created all this? What is his name? What is his son's name? You and me, of course, can say that I know his name is Jesus. Then, as I said to you, I can show you actually in the Bible Old Testament passages, God appearing in three persons. Just a few verses from Isaiah chapter 48, and I'm going to start with verse 15 and 16 I will read to you. It is page 688, if you are following. I have spoken and called him. I have brought him, and he will prosper in his way. Draw near to me. Hear this. This is God who is speaking. Draw near to me. Hear this. From the beginning, I have not spoken in secret. From the time it came to be, I have been there. And now listen. And now the Lord God hath sent me and his spirit. Earlier you saw that God speaking, and then God then saying, now the Lord God has sent me with what? With his spirit. So once again, I can go on and on. And another interesting just is coming to my mind is Zechariah chapter 12. Do read sometime where it says that one day they will look upon the one. Our translation says the one, but you look the footnote in your own Bible and it says that actually in Hebrew it is me. It should be they will look upon me whom they pierced, but then it says and they will mourn for him. They will look upon me, but they will mourn for him. Isn't it something very peculiar? And that is the reality of God's word. Just a little taster from the Old Testament. And the New Testament, of course, we are perhaps little more familiar. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus saying to his disciples in the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Name equals Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 1, when Jesus Christ was baptized, that we see all the three present, Son standing in the water, Holy Spirit coming as the dove, and Father saying from heaven, I am well pleased in him. And also Galatians chapter 4 verse 6, just quickly to read. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So again and again, it is revealed within the scriptures. So it is not a brainchild of anybody, but your doctrinal issue on Trinity is based upon God's word. This was not an attempt, my dear brothers and sisters, to impress anyone with any knowledge, but a humble plea to have confidence in your Bible and the doctrines which were developed over the years. It was a plea to encourage you to worship God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but worship in the confidence. Amen.